Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, and we are opening up to the book of Romans. Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Hey there, Amy. Okay, this chapter, chapter 11, Paul is answering the question that arises from logically from what came in chapter 10. Is God's setting aside of Israel for their rejection of Christ a permanent state? Again, Paul is going to demonstrate that God can be trusted to keep his promises, even to the disobedient nation of Israel. And Paul asserts, indeed, God has not abandoned his people. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 11. We'll be in verses 1 through 10 today. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too at the present time there is a remnant, chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and bend their backs forever. Paul points to himself as an example of how God has not rejected his people. Paul is a Jew, an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, and he is also a partaker of the salvation offered through Christ. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Again, that foreknew is more than just knowledge. It is a relationship, intimate, not cold and distant. God loves his nation of Israel, and that has not changed. As a nation, God continues in faithfulness to his word to treat Israel as a whole as his people, showing his concern for them in the very fact that he does keep for himself a remnant of those who believe. And that remnant is a pledge or promise of God's continuing faithfulness to Israel and to the promises made to Israel. But God's love is not what the world thinks it is. And Israel, as a nation, kept having to learn that lesson over and over again. Even when Elijah appealed to God, actually, he was whining, God told Elijah that Elijah was not the only one left. See, Elijah at that point was depressed and angry, and he wanted the people who were persecuting him destroyed. He was tired of running, tired of always being persecuted. And so he announces to God that he is the only one left who is faithful to God, and his life is being threatened as well. God reminds Elijah that Elijah is not the boss, and that God does know more than Elijah does, and tells Elijah in no uncertain terms that he isn't the only one left. There aren't many who God will hold fast, but there is a remnant, and 7,000 who have not worshipped the Baals. Just as it was then in the Old Testament, so too, Paul says, it is now. In Elijah's day, the majority of Israel was worshiping false gods, and they were rejected by God. But God held back a remnant. In this day, God has also rejected the majority of Israel because of their disobedience. Remember yesterday? In refusing to believe in his Son. God's preserving a remnant in the past provides as the evidence of his present faithfulness to Israel and his pledge of hope for the future for the people. Just as the defection of the Israelites to worship the Baals did not invalidate God's faithfulness to Israel, so too the refusal of the Jews to believe in Christ did not invalidate God's faithfulness to Israel either. But even from there, God has reserved a remnant chosen by grace. Paul then reminds us of what grace is. Grace and human works are opposing forces. They are mutually exclusive. Grace is not based on human works. Grace is based on grace, God's sovereign choice to do as he pleased, not being manipulated into anything by the outward works of any man. Israel, as a nation, failed to get the righteousness and salvation they were seeking. A remnant of Israel received it, but the rest did not. They were given over to their rebellious hearts and allowed to go away in their disobedience. And, yes, God did give them that spirit of stupor, those blind eyes and those deaf ears. As a judicial, think of that heavenly courtroom again, as a judicial act of God toward the disobedient unbelief of Israel. Now, this does not mean that this is a permanent hardening, however, and we'll dig more into that tomorrow. But there will be consequences for their disobedient, rebellious hearts. A person's table was thought to be a safe place, home, where you are surrounded by people who have your back. But the table of the ungodly is a trap. Many people trust in the very things that damn them. Truly, that's what I see when I look around me today. I see so many people who just don't see what's really going on in the world. They point fingers and blame others for things that they don't understand, and their eyes are blinded to the truth. They reject truth at so many points and continue to believe the lies they are told, and it is to their destruction. By God's grace, He has set apart a remnant of Israel to be His. By God's grace, He has provided a way for the Gentiles to be grafted in to His family, not at the expense of the Jews, but in addition to the remnant that He has prepared. Paul quotes the law here in Deuteronomy, the prophets, Isaiah, and the writings in Psalms of the Old Testament to demonstrate that God is faithful and that what is happening is perfectly consistent with who God is. After all, they can find it in their law, prophets, and the writings. Ladies, my prayer for you and for me and for all of us today is that we will not be stubborn and obstinate like the people of Israel, but that our hearts will be soft and moldable as He sanctifies us to be His people. May we appreciate the grace that we have been given by God, and may we not take that for granted as if we deserved that grace or could earn it. May we always be humbled knowing how faithful our God is, even to people who were not faithful to obey His commands. We sin against Him every day. Yet we know that when we confess and ask for forgiveness, He is faithful to forgive us. What do you need to do to cling more tightly to His hand? What do you need to do today to take the blinders off your eyes, to unplug your ears, and see what is truly happening out your front door? Whatever you need to do, don't wait. Do it. His grace is for all who would receive it. Accept that grace and walk with Him. The way is getting darker, ladies. May we all align ourselves with the light now. Learn to recognize it and follow it today and every day.
Thank you, Beth. All of our Bible study notes again on our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what we just heard.